You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Moline. Perhaps you've heard the term food desert used to describe a lack of grocery stores in certain areas. Many Illinois communities outside of urban areas are also struggling with legal deserts. Even though Chicagoland is home to 65% of our state's population, 90% of the lawyers practicing in the state are in that area. Law students can graduate with tens of thousands of dollars in student loan debt, and many see big urban areas as the best way to make some of that money back. As fewer young lawyers are choosing to practice in rural areas and the older attorneys age out of the profession, members of rural communities in many cases have been left without adequate legal representation. In a few minutes, we'll speak with two people who've been studying this issue and working on possible solutions. But first, yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to speak with Maggie Clark. After graduating from law school and starting her career in Bloomington, she decided to move back home and open up her own practice in Pontiac, Illinois. That's about 40 miles northeast of Bloomington. Maggie Clark, welcome to the 21st, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Maggie, when you were graduating law school and deciding where to practice, what sort of things were you thinking about?
I was, really looking into the cost of living in these kinds of places, the kind of the quality of life. I mean, I could have taken a job in a big city and worked a lot more hours or, gone to one of the smaller communities in our area and still had some free time to myself. I was looking at, the kinds of jobs that were available in the different areas. It was also important to me to be close, fairly close to where I was born and raised.
Did you know that you eventually wanted to move back to Pontiac?
I wasn't 100% sure. It was always kind of a thought that was in the back of my mind that I would maybe move back here and raise a family here and plant my roots here. But after I graduated law school, I moved to Bloomington and I lived there for about 4 years. And then I decided to come back to Pontiac.
How did that opportunity come about for you to go back to Pontiac?
It was kind of just there was opportunity here. There was definitely a market for a young and female attorney. There's not a lot of young faces around here in the legal community, and I kind of just put some feelers out there and talked to a few other attorneys in the area and thought that there would be enough work for me here.
About how many law practices and lawyers were there in Pontiac before you opened your practice?
I would say there's less than 10 offices, probably under 20 attorneys total.
And that's for a population of what, about 12,000 people?
Correct.
And Maggie, what challenges exist when it comes to practicing law in a more rural community? Are there some things you deal with on a daily basis that people might not realize?
In a small town, you run into challenges with conflicts of interest. You run into challenges of, if you know both parties on a side of kind of a heated dispute, it gets a little messy if you're, close to both parties. And I think that eventually there are some issues with, is there enough work to be had in this community? Is there, especially with the rise of online access and the access that people have to filing their own lawsuits and doing their own research, will there always be a need for attorneys in rural communities? And that's a question that, we can't answer at this time.
You opened your practice on January 1st of this year. How have things been going so far?
Things are going great. I've been busy. I've got a lot of clients on board. It's been better than I expected it to be this early on.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the reasons why there aren't more lawyers outside of Chicago in just a few minutes. But why do you think we might be seeing this shortage?
Well, I think for one thing is that, your billing rates are significantly different from the city, the suburbs, to a downstate firm. We're charging significantly less per hour than someone in Chicago is charging, and therefore they're making more money. On top of that, you're seeing people graduate from law school with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt, and the salaries that are being offered, downstate are not anywhere close to those numbers. And so, when you're coming out with this huge burden of student loans and you have to pay that back, you kind of have to go to where the money is.
Were any of those factors on your mind when you decided to move back to Pontiac?
Absolutely.
And how did you put those into consideration in making your decision?
You know, I kind of took a look at the numbers and I said, okay, if I can do, you know, this many billable hours in a day, then I can, you know, at least match what I was doing in Bloomington. And if I can get, you know, X number of clients on board, and I just kind of set some projections for myself for a month, for a year, for 5 years down the road, and have just kind of figured out, you know, exactly what I need to be doing each day to stay afloat in a small rural community, and just sticking to those numbers and making sure that, you know, that there's work coming in and that we're getting our, you know, that I'm getting my name out there and doing my own marketing and that sort of thing.
What would you say to someone who just graduated from law school, who's thinking about their options but might be hesitant to practice in a more rural community?
There's a lot of opportunity in the rural community. The nice thing about being in a small town like this is that we kind of get to practice a little bit of everything. If you take a job at a big law firm, you're going to specialize in one thing, and that's the only thing that you're going to be doing for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours per week. In a week of my time, I could see 12 different kinds of cases, you know, or more than that, ranging from, you know, your typical family law cases to like a civil defense case to something involving, you know, you may be putting a lease together. You may be, there's this whole broad range of things that we get to practice.
That's Maggie Clark. She's a lawyer in Pontiac, Illinois, about 40 miles northeast of Bloomington Normal. Maggie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I want to bring two more voices into the conversation here. Mark Palmer is with me in our Urbana studio. He's chief counsel for the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism. Mark Palmer, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
We're also joined by Allison Spanner. She's with the Access to Justice Division for the Administrative Office of the Illinois Court. So, Allison, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Mark, let's start with you. We just heard from Maggie Clark a little bit about her experience practicing law in Pontiac. Would you say that the challenges Maggie spoke about are pretty typical of what lawyers in rural communities face?
Yeah, a big part of my job is kind of be the traveling salesman for the Commission on Professionalism for our Illinois courts. And I have these conversations routinely across the entire state, especially downstate outside the Chicagoland area. And it's very apparent that the conversation's coming both from the attorney side, which I see more often because of my job, but I'm also hearing it from the consumer side, the client base, whether they're inside the courtroom or they're looking for transactional legal services. They're struggling, and there's various reasons for that, and we can talk about that.
Sure. What does that shortage look like in practice? How does it manifest itself?
Well, I think it's important to set the stage with urbanization in general. Okay, if you look at the current situation in the United States. In fact, North America, according to the United Nations, North America leads the world in urbanization. About 82% of the population lives in urban areas in North America, and Illinois is consistent with that trend. And we see in Illinois almost 90%, and that's from 2010, probably the next census, as you talked about earlier this morning, is going to show even greater urbanization. So with that, obviously flows services and products. And those things move into urban areas more and more, just like the medical profession, just like big box stores and the like. Legal services follow those same trends. And so that leads to what we have now, what we labeled these legal deserts or the disappearing rural lawyer, as I've looked into it more and more. And this really came to light in our office as we run the new lawyer mentoring program throughout the state. And as I get the distribution of those new lawyers entering the practice at least twice a year, I get the data from our Illinois Registration and Disciplinary Commission. I get to see what counties those attorneys are falling in or remaining in, whether they're going home to practice or they're migrating to the more urban areas and staying there, and what that results in what we need to do.
Sure. And so let's get an example. What does it look like when, say, someone in a small town in Illinois just cannot find an attorney in their community?
Well, we're seeing a massive trend, and the numbers have seen them usually representing themselves. They turn to, as you might suspect, the internet for research. And yes, there's more and more information out there to help them along with that process. But many times they end up becoming what we call in the business a self-represented litigant, an SRL. And these individuals are entering the courtroom representing themselves in civil cases where they don't have an automatic right to counsel. And they're doing it on their own. And that may be with zero contact with a legal professional, whether a lawyer or otherwise, or just some internet research backing that up. And that's where, Allison's commission, the Commission on Access to Justice, is doing their best to help them along the way, whether it is to find a lawyer or to go about it their own, regardless, for them to get the justice they deserve.
Yeah, Allison, let's bring you in here. You know, certainly people in all communities need access to legal help for all different types of things. What do you see as the consequences for the people in these communities if the lawyers continue to disappear?
Well, the legal system was designed for lawyers by lawyers, and it's governed by a confusing assortment of rules and statutes and case law. And Mark is absolutely right. One option is that without a lawyer to represent their interests, they're being forced to participate in the legal system, one that's entirely foreign to them, without the help of an attorney. So they're trying to do it on their own. I mean, the other third option that we haven't talked about is the option to entirely ignore your legal issue. If you can't find a lawyer and you can't represent yourself, that's a huge barrier that somebody is facing, and often those legal issues go entirely unaddressed. And we're talking about legal issues that affect daily life, like custody of children, staying in one's home, personal safety, public benefits, employment disputes, very fundamental things that really should be resolved by the courts but aren't.
Yeah. Ryan Denham from our partner station WGLT has also been reporting on this issue. I want to play a clip from his reporting here. This is Thomas Harris speaking. Harris was a judge based in Lincoln, Illinois from 2007 to 2013. That's when he became an appellate court justice.
It was such a luxury, almost, to have lawyers presenting the case, because this isn't easy. And I think that's one thing that folks are most shocked at when they get into court. I think they think there's going to be a lot of assistance provided by the judge. And the judge is not allowed to provide that kind of assistance.
Thanks to Ryan Denham and WGLT for that audio. Allison, what sort of position does the shortage of lawyers put judges in?
Yes, as Justice Harris mentioned, we certainly hear from judges that the increasing number of self-represented litigants presents a significant challenge and makes their job more difficult, and it also impacts the overall efficiency of the courthouse. It's certainly a challenge when there are self-represented litigants on both sides of the case, but it creates an even more significant power imbalance when we have a self-represented litigant on one side and a lawyer on the other side. Ideally, both sides would be starting from an even playing field. But with the current state of affairs, that's just not the reality when there are not enough lawyers to go around. However, in the trial courts in Illinois, judges do have the power and obligation to ensure self-represented litigants participate in their court case. Illinois Supreme Court Rule 63 says that a judge must ensure that anyone with a legal interest is fairly heard. It also goes on to say that judges may make reasonable efforts to facilitate self-represented litigants' participation in their court case. But what that means in practice certainly varies depending on the courthouse that you're in and how each judge interprets that rule.
Mm. Mark, you found that as of last year, one-third of the counties in Illinois had not added a new attorney in 4 years. What are some of the reasons that we're just seeing fewer lawyers in these rural areas?
Yeah, those numbers were really startling to me, and they're continuing a trend that I've seen progress over the last 3 to 5 years. As you mentioned, 39 counties have had zero new attorneys in the last 4 years, and 76 counties have had five or fewer new attorneys. So what that results in is only about 700 new lawyers across a 96-county stretch that's outside Cook County and the Collard Counties is what we're talking about here, less than 700. And even if you factor in those less than 700, many of them are going into state's attorney's jobs, public defender's jobs, jobs that aren't accessible to public people with legal services needs. Why is this happening? Well, talking to those new lawyers and the law students entering the legal profession, many of them are concerned with that heavy, heavy student loan debt, of course, floating over their heads. And they're having pressures to see, just as any individual is attracted to urban areas for the quality of life, they may not think like Maggie Clark does in Pontiac, saying, wow, I can have a very comfortable life, a comfortable living, serve the people I want to serve in the career I've chosen in this respect. And that may just be a personal life choice. But in the end, it's difficult to say where that legal need is going to be met when they want to hire a lawyer.
Sure.
And many times that may not be because they can't find a lawyer. It may frankly be because they cannot afford a lawyer. And that was really the startling response I got from, this isn't just a geographic problem. This is a business model problem. And I think that's where we, from the attorney viewpoint, can start to make change.
Only about 90 seconds left here, but I'd like to get a couple of quick thoughts from each of you on potential solutions to this problem. Mark, we'll start with you.
Yeah, as I just mentioned, this is where attorneys need to say, this, what is not working, or where can I expand my reach, whether it's creating more virtual offices that serve that outreach in geographic areas, and thinking outside the billable hour model. That's antiquated. It doesn't work anymore for certain legal deliveries. And you can serve a client base that wants to have other options.
Allison, how about you?
Well, so if somebody is thinking they need to represent themselves, there are legal information options out there in court form. So the Illinois Supreme Court's website has forms for divorce, orders of protection, expungement, and sealing, and they're all written in plain language with instructions on how to actually file the court case and represent themselves in court. You can find that on Illinois Supreme Court's website or at Illinois Legal Aid Online, which is a rich website that can guide people to resources for help with a legal problem.
Mark Palmer, Chief Counsel for the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Professionalism, and Allison Spanner, Assistant Director with the Access to Justice Division for the Administrative Office of Illinois Courts. Thanks both of you for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.